This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, we bring you a full-hour drama adapted from Charles Morgan's absorbing novel of youth and painting, Portrait in a Mirror. The radio play is by Vincent McConner. Charles Morgan, as you undoubtedly recall, is the author of The Fountain and Sparkenbrook, as well as Portrait in a Mirror. And the sum of his works has won him high reputation as an artist. We think he qualifies as well as a first-rate entertainer. Perhaps you'll agree after hearing today's NBC Theater version of Portrait in a Mirror.
Nigel Frew, 1875.
Really, Nigel, do you think such a slight sketch is worth signing name and date?
Not really, Mr. Duggan, but I sign and date everything as a sort of a record.
Ah, me, I sign and date nothing. After I'm dead, let these British critics fight over them, my paintings and my drawings. Let them decide what year I did them, if I did them at all. They'll get no help from me.
Oh, Mr. Duggan.
Look here, Nigel, I didn't mean to belittle your sketch. It's quite a good one. That head's first rate. Bit undeveloped, but quite first rate.
I'll not be taking any lessons next week, Mr. Duggan.
No? Why not?
I'm going to visit a friend of my brother's, Pug Trowby. You've heard me speak of him.
No, I don't recall.
We're going to listen. That's the country house where the Trowby family lives.
Oh, rich, eh?
Yes, I suppose so. They've invited me to visit them so that I can meet Mr. Henry Fullerton.
Henry Fullerton, a gentle master.
Well, I admit, sir, his work has never given me much pleasure.
Then why do you want to meet him?
Well, I didn't say I wanted to. I said I was going to.
Oh, I see.
It was my brother's idea, not mine. My brother and Pug Trowby.
Henry Fullerton's a fashion painter. Oh, yes, he can paint and he can draw. There are few who might not learn from Henry Fullerton as a technician.
Oh, then you do not entirely dislike his work.
I loathe it. Henry Fullerton, I see nothing the same way. Nothing. The gentle master. That's the name they call him. He protests against the label, but he loves it. The gentle master. Ha!
It'll be good for Nigel to mix with people.
Of course it will, Mama.
Depends on the people. It is a safe rule, Richard, never to accept invitations from those who make you ashamed of your own home.
Well, I'm not ashamed, Papa. I never said I was.
You sometimes speak it if you were. Especially when you speak of your friend Pug Trowby and his great country house where he lives.
Oh, the Trowbys are fine people. You met Pug when you came down to see me at Oxford. Remember?
Yes. Too much of a la-di-da for me.
His father's a friend of Dizzy's.
Many people claim to know Mr. Disraeli. What sort of persons will be there, Richard? It's not old Trowbys at these parties, I'll be bound.
Oh, first raters.
Are they fast, extravagant people in a different set from our own? I don't want Nigel mixing with young people who have irregular ways.
Oh, I can't answer for all of them, Mama. I dare say, if the truth's told, there'll be a few who won't be off to bed by 10 o'clock.
Richard, you know quite well what your mother meant. Drinking. Gambling, that sort of thing. Any of that?
Oh, no, sir. No, sir, I give you my word. Possibly there'll be no one there except Trowbys, Nigel and I, and the Fullertons.
Fullertons? You mean the famous painter?
And his son. Remember, Papa? You met Ned Fullerton last year.
Yeah, seemed a sober young fellow. Though not the sort to set the Thames on fire.
Well, sir, he hasn't any need of slave. He'll own Windrush someday. That's the Fullerton estate. Ned may even stand for Parliament.
I don't want Nigel to be impressed by all this life. Great estates and rich living. We are modest people, with modest means.
I'm sure this sounds like quite a small house party. Very pleasant.
Oh, and there'll probably be Miss Sibright.
She's Mrs. Ned Fullerton-to-be, isn't she?
Well, I suppose so, one day. She's the girl that Ned and Pug and I met at Oxford. I'll ask her in. Oh, she's devilish lovely, like a Rossetti painting. At least that's what Ned's father says, and being an artist, he ought to know. Ned was bowled clean over by her. Pug would have been too, only he goes slower.
Who is she? Where's she from?
Nobody knew much about her. She came to Oxford to make up a party of some kind. Turns out she lives with an uncle and aunt. Hasn't a halfpenny to her name.
Well, in those circumstances, I suppose young Toby doesn't regret that he goes slower.
If she's so poor, how does she travel about in this way? Oxford last year, and next week this house party at the Trobys.
Oh, I think her uncle is comfortable enough. But she's an orphan, and the uncle has children of his own.
And you, Richard, do you fancy Miss Sibright?
She's awfully handsome and all that, but...
Yes?
Well, she laughs at most things that any other girl would think important. You never know when she's laughing at you, or when she's suddenly going to be as solemn as a judge about the oddest things. You never know where you are with her.
Emotional, I should say.
What's her name?
Claire Sibright.
Sounds foreign to me. Sibright? What's that?
Good West Country, she says.
Nigel!
Hmm? Yes, Papa?
What are you doing there in the corner?
Just sketching.
You'll injure your eyes.
Yes, sir.
And what do you say to all this, Nigel?
Oh, what, Mama? I wasn't listening.
About this visit you're making next week. About spending a week at the Trobys country place.
Oh, well, I haven't anything to say, sir. I've never been there.
I think it was extremely kind of Mrs. Troby to invite Nigel.
Pug told her that Nigel was interested in painting. She's invited him so that he can meet Mr. Fullerton.
Yes, the great Henry Fullerton, Royal Academician. Now, what do you say to that, Nigel?
Nothing, sir. I haven't met him.
You will, lad. On the weekend. And then what will you say?
Well, I don't know, sir.
And this is my brother, Nigel, Mrs. Troby.
Well, Nigel, I suppose you'll be following your brother to Oxford?
Oh, I don't know, Mrs. Troby.
Indeed?
You see, I want to paint.
Really? That's most interesting. So many young people nowadays have that hobby. But the university will be a necessary training, will it not, for whichever profession you choose?
Oh, but that is to be my profession.
Oh.
You mean painting?
Yes, Pug, painting.
Oh, what's your father say to that?
Well, he doesn't approve.
Well, I'm not surprised.
But still, father's going to have Richard in business with him now. I think he knows I shouldn't be much good at it. In the end, he may allow me to be an artist.
Of course, there are a few artists who are quite comme-il-faut today, received everywhere, like Mr. Fullerton. But the rest of them, well...
Nigel's been studying with one of the rest of them. A little man named Doggin, who lives near us.
I've studied with Mr. Doggin for several years.
It's he who has encouraged Nigel.
Oh, but what does this Doggin know? I never even heard of him.
Oh, he knows a great deal, Pug. In fact, he can draw like a master. Rather like Albrecht Dürer.
Like Albrecht Dürer? Think of that.
I must say he's taught Nigel how to draw awfully well.
Well, I do hope, Nigel, that you brought some of your sketches with you.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, I didn't.
Isn't it time for tea, Mama? Or must we wait for the Fullerton?
In a moment, Pug. I thought we'd have our tea right here in the arbor.
I'm famished.
Oh, then they'll be here this evening, the Fullertons?
Oh, yes. Yes, they'll arrive in time for dinner. The Fullertons and dear Miss Sibright.
I expect Nigel is looking forward to meeting Henry Fullerton. Isn't that right, Nigel?
Oh, yes. I'm looking forward with tremendous pleasure to meeting Mr. Fullerton. That name on the fire screen. Hannah Kirk. 1808. Whoever she was, she's dead now. But all my life's before me. All my years are waiting until I come. Hannah Kirk, 1808. If you're not dead, you're old and withered and...
Who's that? Is anyone there?
Oh, dear. So you've come to life at last.
Oh, I was reading the inscription on the fire screen.
And talking to yourself. I've been watching you ever since you came in.
Why did you hide?
I didn't hide. I was sitting in there in the window seat. I let the curtains fall because I couldn't see the stars. And then you came into the room. I thought I wouldn't say anything, but then...
I know who you are. You're Ned Fullerton's...
Yes, I suppose I am Ned Fullerton's. Or soon will be. I thought you might be Ned, but instead, you're walking in your sleep.
Oh, well, I was thinking.
You must be Nigel Frew, Richard's brother.
That's right.
Come and sit here. It's cool.
Thanks.
I adore window seats. They're like little private rooms somehow.
So you're Claire Sibright.
Yes. I'm glad we met like this, before the others came downstairs.
Oh, the others would have made no difference.
To what?
To me. To my seeing you.
Why,
to...
you, even talk like someone who is sleepwalking.
I'm sorry.
What were you thinking about as you crouched there on the hearth?
About being young.
Oh, how old are you?
Nearly 18.
Oh, I'm nearly 21. That's young, too.
Yes.
What a strange person you are.
I'm sorry.
Oh, but I like strange persons. Yes, I like them tremendously.
Tell me, Nigel, don't you think that light is the most important thing in the painting of a portrait?
Oh, well, sir, I really haven't...
Go on, speak up, Nigel. Mr. Fullerton asked you a question.
Oh, don't push the lad, Richard. We artists never like to talk about our art when we're young. But when we get older, we talk and talk and
talk. I think, sir, that the mind is more important than the light. The painter's mind.
What's that?
Well, the whole question of light, it seems to me, is whether we can use it. At the same time, we diffuse it and control it.
Yes.
But it is the mind of the painter which sees through the light and through the face, sees the real personality of the sitter. You see what I mean, sir?
I'm blessed if I do, young man, but you sound as if you meant it.
Oh, I do, sir. I do.
Nigel.
Yes, Richard?
How much wine did you drink with your dinner?
Oh, just one glass of port.
Oh, you certainly did well on it.
Oh, but Richard, I...
Only over all the conversation at the table and later in the drawing room. You see through the light and through the face.
I'm sorry.
You'd better get to bed.
Yes, Richard.
I'll make your excuses to the others. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, such a beautiful morning. No, don't anybody get up.
Oh, allow me, Mrs. Trovey.
Thank you, Mr. Fullerton. I'll just have a cup of tea. Breakfast never interests me. Is everyone here?
I'm afraid Claire isn't down yet.
Dear Ned, don't apologize for her. In this house, I like everyone to do just exactly as he pleases. Oh, perhaps I will have just one of those scones. Thank you. Well... And when Claire does appear, how do you two propose to spend the day?
I don't believe we've anything planned.
There. Nothing planned. Oh, what opportunities young people do miss nowadays. Don't you agree, Mr. Fullerton?
Well, not entirely, dear lady. These young people seem to make their own opportunities.
You're entirely right, of course. Well, now, I thought we might all go off this morning and do whatever we please. And then everybody will meet for a picnic lunch.
Oh, excellent idea. Richard, why don't you and Ned and I do a bit of fishing?
I'm for it. Oh, capital idea. Only, what about Claire?
Well, she can sit and watch us.
And you, Mr. Fullerton, what is your pleasure?
Perhaps Nigel and I might do a bit of walking, exchange ideas about painting. What do you say, Nigel? Oh,
I would like that, sir.
Is this Troby?
Yes.
You keep a diary?
Well, I always mean to. I do have one.
Well... Be sure to write under today's date that Henry Fullerton said, and I stake my reputation on it, that this boy, Nigel Frew, about whom the world knows nothing...
Yes, yes?
One day his fame will be greater than my own.
Impossible.
Did you hear that, Nigel?
Write that in your diary, Mrs. Crowby, and let posterity be the judge.
Well, I will most certainly write it down immediately after breakfast.
Oh, Nigel, I saw one of your drawings this morning.
My drawing?
I presume it was yours. It was a drawing of Miss Sidwright.
Oh, well, it's only a sketch, sir. I did it from memory just before breakfast.
Man, twice your age would be proud of it.
Oh, you're very kind, sir.
It's most generous coming from such a great artist.
Well, is it a bargain then, Nigel? Should we take a stroll? You give the old fogey some new ideas and I'll put you up to some of the tricks of painting. What do you say?
Oh, I should like that, sir, very much.
I began life with the determination to become a famous painter. I worked hard. My pictures were reproduced in the popular journals. People used to gather before them at every exhibition. All the world lay before me. Until... Yes, until it happened.
Happened.
sir?
Well, this will prove to you how fickle a man's reputation can be. I had a most influential critic among my friends. He fell in love with my wife. Then, at the peak of my success, everything changed. Praise for my work became grudging. His first, and then all the others.
Really?
Oh, yes. Critics always follow a strong lead. And ever since, they've all held the same attitude toward me. They say I'm an old fogey, out of date.
Oh, not at all, sir.
Well, actually, my work's improved. It's got better each year. But I'm still called an old fogey because one critic was in love with my wife and lost her to me. Both dead now. But when you give a dog a bad name, it sticks to him. Great technical powers, they all say, but no vision. Oh, well. You'd have a happy marriage. A perfect marriage. Tell me, Nigel, have you ever been in love?
In love, sir?
Because if you haven't, you should start to look for it at once. Yes. It'll do you nothing but good. A world of good.
Nigel, aren't you dressed?
No, not yet.
You haven't even started.
No.
You've been sitting here all this time sketching.
Yes.
Well, get dressed at once. This is a real party tonight.
Oh, do I have to come downstairs? Who's to be here?
Not many. Don't look so terrified. People like you. Don't you realize that?
Who likes me?
Everyone, so far as I know. Old Fullerton, Mrs. Troby.
Oh, well, older people often like me.
Well, so do Pug and Ned. They like you tremendously.
How do you know? Did Ned say anything?
Well, just that he liked you.
Oh, that's only because I'm your brother.
What about Claire Sibright? You've made quite a conquest there, you know.
Shall I have to dance tonight?
Don't you want to?
Oh, I'm no good at it.
Quite good enough.
Well, I suppose it's the things I'm no good at that I hate. The things I shouldn't ever do if I weren't your brother.
What would you like to do, Nigel? Just draw and paint?
I suppose so. Draw and paint and be left alone.
Oh, really?
Richard, when is Ned Fullerton going to marry Claire?
I don't know. Next month, the end of August. Why?
I just wondered. It seems odd to think of them settling down. They seem to have so little to do with each other.
Little? They're always together.
Oh, but she doesn't belong to him. They don't talk to each other, or do
they? When you're madly in love, you don't need to do much talking. Ned's madly in love with her.
And she? Is she in love with him?
In her own way, I suppose. Claire's a strange girl. She loves him. Anyway, she wants to marry him. But you're the ones made the romantic conquest. You'd better cut him out.
What do you mean?
Claire watched us fishing this morning, Ned and Pug and me. But all she talked about was you.
I don't think she's happy.
I doubt whether she is. She's so up and down. And yet probably that's to be expected. Most girls are on edge just before they're married. She'll settle down after a month or two. I dare say Ned isn't exactly what she imagined as the love of her life. She's being sensible marrying him, and that's a bit of a strain. Well, I'll go downstairs. Hurry, you'll be late for the party.
She isn't happy. I know she isn't happy.
Now, John.
Mrs. Trevor.
Why are you standing here by yourself?
Oh, I enjoy looking at all the others.
It seems to me you've only been looking at one person, Claire. Do you really love her so much?
What?
Or didn't you know?
How did you find out?
Your face. I've been watching you from across the room.
You mean I gave myself away? To everybody?
You gave yourself away, but not to everybody.
You're laughing at me.
No, my dear boy, I'm not laughing at you. Well, here comes Ned Fullerton.
Oh, excuse me, Mrs. Toby.
Nigel, come back.
Nigel. Here you are, Nigel.
Oh. Hello, Ned.
I followed you. Couldn't quite see you here in the dark.
I suppose you wanted to talk about Claire.
Claire? Oh, she's in there dancing with Pug. No, I wanted to talk about your painting.
My painting?
After all, my father is the great Henry Fullerton. I can't paint myself, but I am interested.
Oh.
Only Dad's never been able to explain it to me. Not in the way you talked at dinner last night. What I can't make out is why some of these artists paint the way they do. Some of their paintings aren't like anything, are they? At least they aren't to me. You tell me, what are these fellows driving at? For instance, why shouldn't the portrait be an exact likeness? Tell me that.
Likeness? Likeness to what?
To the setter, of course.
Ah, but to which setter? The one you see, or the one the painter sees?
You mean they're not the same?
Oh, hardly. A portrait should be an image of one person, seen through the mirror of another.
How do you mean?
Well, take Claire.
Yes?
Now you know her in a certain way. Therefore, you see her in that way. But if I were painting her, I would see her in quite another way.
You mean you don't just see her features? Nose, mouth, eyes?
Oh, no, it's much more than that. It's seeing something about Claire which you, who may know her much better, may never have seen. The real Claire.
I think I know the real Claire.
Yes, perhaps you do, Ned.
And there's no one like her in all the world. I often wonder what Claire sees in me. I wish you'd paint her portrait while we're here.
Why? Paint Claire?
Why not?
What would your father say?
I think he'd approve. We'll talk about it in the morning at breakfast.
Very well, then. At breakfast.
Why, it never occurred to me.
I think it's an excellent idea.
Oh, it's too exciting. Nigel painting Claire's portrait in my house.
Well, I'm afraid I haven't any painting materials with me.
Well, you can make your preliminary sketches here and paint the portrait later on.
You will, won't you, Nigel?
Of course he will.
What will you call it, Nigel?
Call it? Why, Portrait of a Lady.
Oh? Why the anonymous lady?
Yes, Nigel. Why not give me immortality? Call it Portrait of Claire Sibrett.
If you wish.
By the time Nigel's finished it, I hope it will be Portrait of Mrs. Ned Fullerton.
Whatever you call it, the catalogue will probably say number 99. And perhaps they would also say this was one of the earliest of Nigel Frew's important works, begun in 1875, when Mr. Frew was not yet 18. And little is known of the subject, Mrs. Fullerton, except that her tombstone in Windrush Church records that she was the mother of 19 children.
Claire.
Oh, do you realize that we're all discussing a painting that doesn't even exist?
But it will exist. You are going to paint Claire, aren't you, Nigel?
Yes, I'll paint Claire's portrait. At least I'll do some preliminary sketches.
When will you start?
This morning, right after breakfast. Turn your face to the right, please. Just a bit.
Like this?
Oh, fine.
Nigel, will you answer a question?
Why, yes.
You'll tell me the truth?
Of course.
Nigel, did you really want to paint my portrait?
Well, of course I wanted to.
Oh, don't answer like that. You're not a boy being polite. You're an artist who has had a subject suggested to him by people who don't know, who have no right. Don't you see what I'm trying to say? I don't want to be for you someone you're forced to paint.
Oh, I don't feel that way.
How do you feel? About me, I mean.
My personal feelings towards you have nothing whatever to do with a portrait I shall paint.
Oh, Nigel, have I hurt you in some way? I didn't mean to.
No, of course not.
You see, I have a feeling about you. About your someday being a great painter. And it has nothing to do with what Ned's father said either.
Doesn't it?
No. Now, every instinct tells me that you will be a great man one day. And I don't want you to paint me unless you see something in me that you yourself want to paint.
Oh, I do. I do see something in you. Something that I want to paint. More than I've ever seen before.
But Claire, you can't pose every day.
Why not, Mrs. Strobe?
Well, it means that you're doomed to sit for hours in that dark room while the sun is shining outside. You're supposed to be on holiday.
Oh, I don't mind. I don't mind at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very old, I shall remember this. And if I failed, if this portrait is not a success, I will wish that I could be young again. Could do it all over again. Well, here I am. Young. All the years ahead. The old man's wish fulfilled, as it were. I must not fail. I must not fail.
Every instinct tells me that you will be a great man. Perhaps as a painter. Perhaps only in the way you live.
When you've done all these preliminary sketches, what next?
Well, I'll transfer my final drawing to canvas, make a complete underpainting in monochrome. On that, I'll begin a succession of glazes and dryings in the sun.
But Claire will be off on a honeymoon before that.
A honeymoon?
Yes, yes, yes. Will you kindly look at the calendar, lad? After all, Mrs. Kirby didn't invite us here for the rest of our lives.
Well, I didn't realize that time had passed so swiftly. Perhaps I'd better stop, give the portrait up.
Oh, nonsense. These sketches are first rate. You can't stop. I want to watch you painting. You must go on. You must.
This is our last sitting, Nigel. Is it any use to go on?
Any use? Now, don't move your head.
But you haven't even begun on canvas. This is Saturday, our last time together.
Hmm?
This afternoon, we'll all be leaving here.
Oh, yes. Yes, you're quite right.
You're stopping?
Well, it's of no use to go on, is it?
Oh, I do wish it wasn't ended. I've liked being in this room with you. But now it finishes. Next month, I shall be married.
Claire,
Yes? What were you going to say, Nigel?
Nothing. That is... There's nothing there's any use to say, is there?
Nigel, are you really going to be an artist?
Yes, I am.
You let nothing stand in your way. Not your father, not Oxford. You promise?
Why should I make a promise to you?
Because I want to feel that even if... Oh, Nigel. Nigel, because I'm a coward and I don't want you to be a coward.
Oh, you are unhappy. I know you are.
Oh, how could you know anything about me? You're so young.
But I may be now. But someday... Claire, couldn't we in 3 or 4 years, when I've had time to make my way, couldn't we...
3 or 4 years. Or 9 or 10. Things don't work out like that, Nigel.
I love you, Claire. I can't let you go. I can't.
You love me? Oh, do you, Nigel?
Oh, you know that since that first night in the window seat.
We'd better say goodbye, Nigel. Here. Now. This afternoon when the others are there waving their handkerchiefs, that won't be goodbye for us. Oh, say goodbye to me now, Nigel. Kiss me. Kiss me.
There are tears on her cheeks.
Oh, Nigel. Nigel, there will never be anything like this for me. Never again. No. No, my darling. I know that well enough.
Claire, we could run off. Slip away now.
No,
now we'd be out in the hills.
No.
Oh, this is our chance. Come away with me, Claire. Come now.
Oh, Nigel. Nigel, with all your wisdom, you're still a child.
Don't say that.
Goodbye, Nigel. We mustn't see each other again. Never.
Oh, Claire.
Goodbye, my dearest.
Claire.
from Hollywood, the NBC Theater, is bringing you a dramatic version of Charles Morgan's Portrait in a Mirror. We will resume with Act Two after a brief pause for station identification.
Sounds very pleasant. What about you, Nigel?
Oh, yes, Mother.
Did you enjoy yourself at the Trowbridge?
Oh, yes, yes, very much.
Matter of fact, Nigel got on awfully well with Mr. Fullerton. He says that Nigel will be a great artist someday.
But did he tell you where the great artist's bread and butter? I am one of those who like to see each step ahead and to take each step as it comes. And your next step, young man, is Oxford.
Yes, Papa.
But if Nigel's talent lies in his painting, it would be a pity to discourage it.
I repeat, next step, the university.
And didn't you do any work while you were away?
No, Mr. Dobbin.
Not even a sketch. You wasted a whole week.
Well, there were some sketches for a portrait.
For a portrait? Why do you say there was nothing?
Because I didn't finish them.
Nigel, what is it you're concealing from me? More than unfinished drawings, I'll be bound.
No, no, sir, it isn't.
Since you returned last week, you've been concealing something. Shows in your work. The inside of you's frozen. Where are these sketches you did while you were away?
Well, I have them at home.
I want to see them.
All right, Mr. Doggin, I'll bring them tomorrow.
Now I know why you've been drawing so well since you came back.
But you said that I was frozen.
Your heart, not your hand. You have a new kind of fluency in your hand. These sketches show a brilliant advance in talent, but at the same time, they're a failure, these sketches of this girl. Did you know that?
Yes, sir. I know.
Why didn't you tell me the truth, boy? Haven't I deserved it?
I will tell you, Mr. Duggan.
There's no need now. I've learned it all from these drawings. I know. Now then, don't do any work for a few days. Get yourself settled. Then we'll start back to work.
Nice you were able to join us, Mr. Doggin.
A pleasure, ma'am.
Perhaps Mr. Doggin is ready for another cup of tea.
I am indeed, sir.
I can't understand what's become of Nigel.
He said hours ago he's going for a walk.
Oh, there's the front door.
My, he's going to be surprised when he hears what has happened.
Remember, my dear, I'll be the one to tell him.
Of course.
Sorry I'm late.
Here's Mr. Doggin having tea with us.
Oh, Mr. Doggin.
Thought you were coming in for a lesson this afternoon, Nigel.
Oh, well, I've been walking, sir.
Alone?
Yes, Father. Up on Flock Hill.
Hmm. Rather gloomy walking alone, I should imagine. I often wonder what you think about... Not about going to Oxford, I'll be bound.
No, Father.
Well, you say you want to be an artist.
Yes, more than anything.
I've always been against it. However, something has happened which changed my attitude.
Yes, Father.
It all arose from a letter to Richard.
A letter from Ned Fullerton.
You'd better tell him, Richard.
Ned said that his father often spoke of you, Nigel, saying how good your work is, how he wished that you were free to come and work with him in his studio at Windrush.
Windrush?
Richard persuaded me to write to Mr. Fullerton, to ask him directly for an opinion of your work, your possibilities. I was tremendously impressed by his reply.
What did he say?
He wrote that in his considered opinion, it was my duty to allow you to have your way in this. So, there you are, my boy. The die is cast. I consulted Mr. Doggin here as well. He agrees that you're qualified to follow an artistic career. Isn't that so, Mr. Doggin?
He must, sir, he must.
And so, Nigel, you're to go to Windrush and live there and work in Mr. Fullerton's studio.
No, I can't go to Windrush.
What's that?
I want to stay here and go on working with Mr. Doggin.
Now, Nigel, don't be willful. This has all been most carefully considered, and your father, I'm sure, has decided for the best.
Henry Fullerton is a second-rate artist, but...
What are you saying, Mr. Doggin?
He's second-rate, but he's a fine craftsman. He can teach Nigel as much of the use of paint as anyone in all England. I can teach him only a little of that. I'm a draftsman, not a painter. You've outgrown me, Nigel. I want you to go.
But you don't understand, Mr. Doggin. You don't understand why I can't go to work.
I understand, and all the more I say you must go. You have a portrait to finish. Have you forgotten?
Forgotten? But that's exactly why
then,
I...
Then go. Fear nothing. Only little men turn aside from walking with devils and angels. You'll find God himself in no other company.
Very well. I will. I'll go to Windrush.
Coming, coming! Oh, where is that maid?
Mr. Fullerton.
Nigel. Oh, come in and welcome to Windrush.
Thank you, sir.
I should like to take you all to my studio. That's to be the first room in the house for us.
Oh, yes, sir, of course.
But it's too late. It's getting dark. You must dress, young fellow, and sharp's the word.
You're having a fiesta tonight.
A fiesta?
Yes, a crowd to dinner, all the bigwigs. Windrush, I can tell you, is a different place since Ned brought Claire here as his wife. We've grown young again. Claire acts like an elixir, though, by Jove, I never thought she would. She's too independent and sensitive. That was my idea. But she's taken to Windrush. Just shows you there's no judging a girl till she's married.
Yes, sir.
Well, come along upstairs, Nigel. I'll show you to your room. You can get ready for the party. All these people have been hearing about you, Nigel. I do believe that Claire would make any painter's fortune. Look them over at dinner. If there's a face among them you want to paint, it ought not to be difficult to arrange. At a fat fee. Claire.
Claire.
Nigel. Oh, I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you.
I do hope the journey wasn't too trying. Ned. Ned, here's our guest of honor.
Hello, Ned.
Good you've turned up. Just remember, before all these people rain commissions on you, Claire's portrait comes first. Isn't that a bargain?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Come on now. You must meet everybody. This way. First, I'll introduce you to Mrs. Fullerton. She's Ned's great aunt.
Centuries old, but more alive than most of the others.
Henry tells me you are a young man of great promise. Sit down.
Thank you.
You needn't shout. I am nearly blind, but I'm not deaf. Sit down.
Oh, Nigel can't sit with you.
Oh, why not?
He's only this moment arrived. I must introduce him to everyone else, dear.
Then you shall take me in to dinner.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling, but that's impossible.
Impossible?
I've arranged my table, and it can't be changed.
Can't a table be rearranged?
Not this late, dear.
Well, you are the mistress here. Age once had privilege.
Age? Oh, you're younger than any of us.
Take him away, then. I will see you, sir, when you have tired of the others.
Thank you, Miss Fullerton.
The others are boys. All of them.
Tell me, Mr. Frew, are you good at painting horses?
Horses?
Much more intelligent faces than people.
No, I've never painted horses.
Oh, too bad, too bad.
But isn't it a mistake to spend all your time at painting?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Don't you get tired of it?
Oh, I could never tire of it.
Well, there's no accounting for tastes, is there?
When will you start work on my portrait, Nigel?
Oh, not right away.
Why not?
Well, it'll take me a few days to adjust to these new surroundings.
Oh, yes, of course.
I'll probably do some sketching out of doors before I get back to the portrait.
Very well, Nigel. Whatever you wish.
Good morning, Miss Fullerton.
So, you will not paint Claire's portrait?
Well, it isn't a question of will not. I
cannot, then. That's worse. If not Claire, do you want to paint?
Well, I think I may sketch the church. I noticed it just now as I came through the village.
The church? Then you must have a taste for ruins. What about painting me, sir?
I'd like very much to paint you, Miss Fullerton. If you would wear the same dress you wore at the party last night...
If you wish. When shall you start?
Well, this afternoon, if I may.
Immediately after lunch. I'll have my nap as you paint. What about your fee?
Oh, I want no fee.
Oh, but you must have a fee. I shall name it myself. I always have, all my life.
All right, then. We'll start to work this afternoon.
Doesn't the music disturb you?
Hmm? Oh. Where did you come from?
I was walking and heard the music. The organist is practicing for Sunday. Oh, do I bother you with my talking?
No.
I never see you, except at meals or in Miss Fullerton's room.
I know.
That's a charming sketch you're doing there.
Yes, it's rather a curious statue. I wanted to sketch it ever since I first noticed it.
Oh. Nigel, is that really why you're here, alone in the church?
No. I've been waiting for you to come. No, I didn't realize it until this moment.
Oh, I knew you were waiting for me, Nigel.
Oh, Claire. Oh,
Nigel, let's try
together.
Oh, I hope we'll never, never be strangers again.
Oh, my dear.
And what about my portrait? Now can you paint it?
Yes. Oh. I'll start it the first thing tomorrow.
Claire?
Yes, Ned?
I've been thinking, why don't we go to London for a part of the season?
Oh, no, Ned, I don't want to.
I thought you might enjoy it.
Oh, but you love the country, Ned. And these are the best of all months at Windrush.
Yes, the country's beautiful, Nanny.
Oh, must you two go off to London?
Certainly not. All of Ned's interests are here.
It looks to me as though all your interests are here, too.
Yes. I've come to love Windrush.
I didn't mean Windrush.
Then what did you mean?
I've hardly seen you these last weeks, Claire. Every day you're in the studio posing for your portrait.
Oh, but Ned, it was you who insisted that I go on with the portrait.
I know I did.
Oh, Ned, you're being ridiculous.
Ridiculous or not, I want you to come to London with me. I want to have you alone for a while. I want you all to myself.
Sorry, Ned. I don't wish to go to London.
Well, Henry? What do you think of the way he's painted me?
Nigel's painting like a mixture between a fool and a demon.
Oh, is that praise, sir, or criticism?
You won't let me so much as peek at it. My own portrait.
I mean it, sir, as a warning. This pace can't last.
Oh, but I'm painting more slowly than ever before.
Your mind is moving faster than your brush. I can see it. Now look. Here. Here. And here.
Have you told the boy your news?
News?
Go ahead, Henry. Tell him.
Nigel, I have a surprise for you. Jules Coutisson is coming over from Paris on business.
Coutisson? The art dealer?
Yes, coming here to Windrush. And while he's here, I'm going to have him look at your work.
Oh, but I only have this oil and the sketches of the church.
What about Claire's portrait?
Oh, well, it isn't more than started. I haven't touched it all this week.
I want Jules to see everything that you've done. Well, now I must get back to my own work. I'll see you at dinner.
Righto.
Nigel.
Yes, Miss Fullerton?
Tell me, sir, when will my coffee be finished?
Soon now, I hope.
I won't live forever, you know. You are finding it difficult to work at Windrush, aren't you?
Oh, I know.
I'm very old, Mr. Flew. Why do you trouble to lie to me? Be assured, I'm not your enemy. Nor is it any matter to me whether you waste your life. Henry said last night that your work is going to pieces.
He said that?
Not in those precise words. I say it for him. Shall you ever, as things stand, be able to work at Windrush?
I'm planning to leave Windrush.
And return?
And not return.
How soon?
When your portrait is completed.
And will that be very soon?
Another week.
Where will you go?
To Paris. That's where all art students are supposed to go, isn't it?
So they say. Tell me, what stays you?
Stays me?
Yes. Why don't you leave at once? Today. Never mind about finishing my portrait.
Well, my father wouldn't approve.
You need his approval?
No, but I'll need his assistance. I hesitate to write him. You see, I have no income of my own.
And this trip to Paris, you hope it will resolve your troubles?
Well, it will take me away from them.
Why are you tormenting yourself?
What do you mean?
Has no one before you wanted his neighbor's wife? Take Claire. Take her. Or leave her. But whichever you do, be done with it.
Nigel, that I admire men of science most of all.
Above painters?
Oh, above all others.
But I don't understand.
Well, I'm always fascinated about the science of painting. Perhaps too fascinated. I suppose that's had an influence on my work. You see, I look at pictures through an imaginary lens. How were they painted? What medium did the painter use? By what process of glaze and scumbling did Titian obtained that magnificent interior glow?
Well, Rubens also painted with an interior glow, though of quite a different quality.
Rubens? Oh, I detest the fellow. No discipline, no restraint, and disgusting choice of subjects.
Still, he's one of the great giants for all that.
Well, I believe that you admire Rubens no more than I. Has someone told you that you should admire him, is that it?
Why, certainly not. No one forms my opinions for me.
I'm sure they don't. The integrity of artistic opinion is holy ground, you, isn't it?
Well, I suppose so. Something of the sort.
And I trod on it. I'm sorry.
And I, for losing my temper.
I'm glad you lost your temper. If you hadn't, you'd be my kind of artist.
Your kind of artist?
Yes, I never lose my temper, and I'm afraid I don't boast. Holy ground. More's the pity. Oh, by the way, Mr. Coutisson will be arriving tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow?
On the morning train and leaving again immediately after lunch. So, shall we get to work? I thought we might have a look through all your sketches.
Oh, I'd appreciate that, sir. I'd like you to select the ones which you think you should see.
I think you should see all of them. Yes, every single one of them.
How can you stand there, painting this old face of mine, with Jules Coutisson in the studio looking at all your work?
Well, Mr. Fullerton asked me to stay away.
He would.
Well, it's best this way, really.
Jules and I are old friends. He was here in my room this morning, looking at my portrait.
Oh, yes? What did he say about it?
Not a word. Just like his father. I knew him years ago in Paris.
May we come in?
Of course.
Madame, I come to bid you au revoir.
Monsieur Coutisson, you are leaving? But you only arrived this morning.
Mine was, as you say, a flying visit. Au revoir, Monsieur Poe.
Goodbye, sir.
I wish it were possible for me to stay longer.
Sir, you have seen my work?
Maybe I have.
What do you think of it?
I saw it with great pleasure. Some of it is remarkable, altogether remarkable. You draw like an angel, you paint like a god, but you belong to another age. Another age? An age that lies farther in the future than I can see. I do not like your work, monsieur. It says nothing to me which I wish to hear. But there is in it that which may cause the future to mock me. Continue painting, monsieur. That is my advice. Continue painting.
Nigel, you haven't asked me to pose for you all this week.
I haven't been able to work.
Why not? Is it because of what that Frenchman says?
I think I need to get away from here.
Get away? Oh. Nigel, remember that morning at the Trobys? You asked me to run away with you.
Yes, I remember.
What would have happened if we had run away? Where should we be today? In Italy?
Perhaps.
I've never been in Italy. In the evening, we would go down to the sea and swim. Swim far out until we could no longer see the lights on the shore.
Claire, stop.
Oh, but Nigel, it was all over long ago. For you, I mean, as well. Oh, haven't we been long enough at Windrush together to be friends and smile over what is past?
But that day in the church.
I was foolish. As you were foolish that morning at the Trobys. Nigel, would you run away with me now?
No.
Would you?
Well, if we could go back as we were then. Oh, Claire, why do you ask such questions?
Sometimes when I'm with you, I feel that I have gone back to that morning before I was married, and I'm Claire Sibright again.
Claire Sibright.
It seems as if something that was mine has been stolen from me, never to be Claire Sibright again. After all, she was my first self. She was my own, my true self. And is sometimes, even now.
Then it's not too late for us.
Yes, Nigel. It's much too late. That's one of the tricks of life. Your love was too soon, and mine was too late.
I will always love you.
No. No, you mustn't. It would always have been useless, Nigel. Even if we had gone away together that morning. Even if I had shared your love in time. You know, at this moment, we are really together for the first time. We are together. For no lie divides us now.
When I leave here, I'll take your portrait with me. Perhaps someday I'll finish it.
Remember, I am she you loved. You loved me in the spirit, not in the flesh. Your first love. Remember me. Always.
How could I ever forget?
You created her in the spirit. Create her continually. Don't let her die, Nigel. Let her live in your painting.
I will.
Oh, the girl you loved hasn't escaped or betrayed you, Nigel. For her sake, forgive me. And when I am here no more, she will remain with you forever.
Forever.
Goodbye, Nigel.
Claire, I'm going away this afternoon.
I'll not be seeing you again then. Goodbye.
Goodbye, my love.
Who is it?
May I come in, Miss Bulletin?
The door's not locked.
I didn't wish to disturb you.
You aren't disturbing me. Come in. Come in.
Thank you.
Stand close to me. Here, in the light. Your eyes are quite feverish.
Oh, no, I'm all right.
Cry, if you will. I'm not so young that I'm contemptuous of a man's tears.
I have no desire to cry.
And I'm not so soft either, that I dare not tell a man of genius when he's a fool.
Genius?
I've looked at the portrait you've painted of me. You are a genius. I only wish I could live long enough to see you prove it. You know, sir, where that proof must be made. The palace. Nowhere else.
Yes, I know that. And I'm going there.
When?
Now.
Tonight?
This instant. On the afternoon train.
I'm glad.
Will you say goodbye to the others?
Henry will be furious if you slip away.
I'm sorry, but I can't say goodbye, not to anyone.
Bend down, sir. Bend down. And kiss me.
Yes, Miss Bullard.
Thank you, sir. We'll never see each other again, you know.
Perhaps one day you'll come to Paris.
At my age, there is only one more journey to be made. Here, sir. Take this.
What is it?
An envelope, which I've had in my pocket for several weeks.
For me?
Of course it's for you. Read the inscription.
Fee for portrait of an old ruin. 2,000 francs. Oh, I can't take it.
Why not?
Well, it's entirely too much.
I told you when you started the portrait that I alone would decide the thing.
Oh, yes, but not...
Yes, but how much money do you have?
Well, enough to get me to Paris.
And after that?
I'll manage.
This is your fee, sir. Take it and go.
I'm very grateful.
If you're planning on catching the afternoon train, you better hurry.
Thank you, Miss Fullerton.
I'm going to take my nap now. I shall dream of you in Paris. It's been many years since I was there. The Silver City. I wish that I were young and could go to Paris with you. I envy the girl who's waiting for you.
Waiting for me?
Perhaps not in Paris, but somewhere. She's waiting for you, even though she doesn't know it. She will have a glorious life. A miraculous life. Married to a genius.
You have heard Portrait in a Mirror by Charles Morgan, as adapted for radio by Vincent McConnor. Be with us at the NBC Theater next week for a dramatization of Miguel de Cervantes' rugged satire, Don Quixote. And commencing with Don Quixote, the NBC Theater will resume its participation in college-supervised courses in world literature. If you wish to increase your own knowledge and appreciation of the great novels and novelists, we suggest that you write for full information on these correspondence courses. Write to the NBC Theater in care of one of the following universities or colleges: the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky, Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas, the University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Texas College of Arts and Industries, Kingsville, Texas, and Brooklyn College, Brooklyn, New York. In today's cast, Nigel Frew was Terry Kilburn. Claire Sibright was Constance Cavendish. Mr. Doggin was Tudor Owen. The mother was Norma Varden. Father was Donald Morrison. Richard Frew was Dan O'Herlihy. Mrs. Troby was Eleanor Audley. Pug Troby was Hugh Thomas. Ned Fullerton was Bob Pollock. Henry Fullerton was Ramsey Hill. And Miss Fullerton was Ottila Naismith. Your announcer, Don Stanley. The NBC Theater is produced by Wade Arnold and is directed by Warren Lewis. This program came to you from Hollywood. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Listen today to Theater Guild on the Air when Paul Douglas and Ginger Rogers star in The Barker, That's Paul Douglas and Ginger Rogers today on Theater Guild. And make a note, beginning today, hear Peggy Ann Garner in the new series, Meet Me in St. Louis. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.